You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah, the first chapter. I want to talk to you this morning and minister to you along the lines of faith, but maybe a little different way of looking at it. You might call this the logic of faith or the reasoning of faith. You know, I think we have the idea, or I used to think that faith was against the senses. You know, we often heard teaching along those lines that it's either or. You know, you're going to believe senses or you're going to believe faith, as if they were opposed to each other. I don't know if y'all ever had that idea that, you know, that your senses aren't lying to you. They're just telling you what they reveal, that's all. But see, the problem with that is they don't reveal the things that faith reveals. Yeah. And so faith is not opposed to the senses. It's rather above them, as it were. Blaise Pascal made a statement like that. He said, certainly faith reveals to us what the senses do not, but it is not opposed to the senses, it's just above them. I thought, what a neat way to say it, you know, when you think about it. So when I'm getting in faith, I'm not being crazy, I'm not being ridiculous, I'm not being silly. You know, it's not foolish to believe God, it's probably the smartest thing you could do. Amen. Foolish in the natural, but that's because in the natural, you've just cut out the Spirit and you've cut out God, and so you don't even factor that into your thinking. So you're always going to come up with the wrong answer.
Right.
Isn't that right? And so we're not against reasoning. We're not against logic. We're not against good common sense. But good sense and reasoning and logic always includes God. And if you take God out of it, you can't have good sense. You're not being logical. You're not being reasonable. People often say that, you know, when you decide to trust God or stand on God's word, they'll say, oh, be reasonable, meaning leave God out of this. Well, I don't think that's very reasonable. Are you with me? And they said, oh, man, you're not making any sense. Well, meaning believing the Bible and believing in God doesn't make sense. Well, I don't think it makes sense not to believe in God and not to believe the Bible. It always makes sense to trust someone that's smarter than you are. And I think that's the problem. We don't always realize that God is smarter than we are. You know, back to, I can't help but quote Brother Osteen, goodness. Brother Osteen used to say, you know what the greatest revelation is I ever received from God? You know, if you really want to know, raise your left hand, you know, and he'd have you stand up and you're going, well, if you really, really want to know, raise your right hand, and we're going, you know, and then he's bouncing across the stage, you know, you really want to know what the greatest revelation is I ever received from God? And everybody's going, yes, please. Here it is. God is smarter than I am. We're going. But he's right. And it is probably the greatest revelation you'll ever see from God. Because that's the start of everything. If you don't believe God's smarter than you are, you won't go to him. If you don't believe he's smarter than you are, you won't trust him. If you don't believe he's smarter than you are, you won't stand on his word when it seems like all hope is lost. Notice what it says here in Isaiah. Everybody found Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah said in chapter 1, verse 18, come now, and this is God speaking through the prophet. He says, come now, let us reason together. He didn't say, come now, check out your brain, quit thinking, leave all reason, and come to me. He didn't say that. He said, come, let us reason together. See, I think we kind of get this idea that it's an either-or deal. You know, either you're going to be reasonable or you're going to believe. You're either going to do the smart thing or you're just going to throw caution to the wind and believe God. Like that's a leap in the dark somewhere. You know, trusting God is, you know, as we say, going to Las Vegas and pulling the lever and hoping it comes up triple nickels. Shoot something up there and hope something happens, you know. That's not faith. Faith is very reasonable. Faith is very logical. God is saying, come, let us reason together. The problem with our reasoning and our logic is we have not included him, and there's no way we're ever going to come up with the right answer. So if you haven't included what God says, and if you hadn't looked at what God says, and you haven't come to him, then you're not being reasonable. God is calling you and I to reason together with him. See, I don't know what you're going through, but God has hope, and he has help, and he has an answer. And his words are promises that cover your situation. But if you don't come to him, then you're never going to be able to get his reasoning, his wisdom. Are you with me? And you're going to be unreasonable and illogical, and your life will make no sense at all. You know, I love that the word that's translated The Greek word translated word concerning Jesus in John the first chapter says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Without Him, all things are made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. That word there is logos. We often hear that in the Greek. And the word logos just means the complete thought or the reasoning of something. You know, psychology, logi, you know, means the study or the reasoning or the thought of the mind. Theology is the reasoning or thought, the study of God. And so that's what it means. But see, what we've often missed there is that Jesus is the logic. We get the word logic from that. He is the logic of God. And He's the logic of the universe. And so when you get Him in your life, far from throwing caution to the wind or throwing out reason or throwing out logic, now your life has meaning. Now it has reason. Now it has logic because you have the Word, the logic of God, which is Jesus. And without Jesus, life makes no sense. And it makes no... Are you with me? Your life has no reason. It has no purpose. It has no logic. Listen, it is logical to believe God. It is logical and reasonable to trust Him. Hallelujah. We do it all the time. We're always trusting people that are smarter than we are. Anybody ever had surgery or been to a doctor or had someone in the family that had surgery? You go in, you sit down with a doctor. You don't demand that he explains every detail. He does his best, but you haven't had the training he has. You haven't been to all the schooling he's been to, spent the money he's spent to learn this procedure. You hadn't done this procedure over and over like he has. I mean, he can start naming off different parts of the body and different chemicals and the reaction, but you're going to finally lose yourself. It's like going to Dr. Berg to get worked on. He's a chiropractor, and you ask him, well, what is that? And he says, well, that's this muscle and that muscle and this technique, this nerve and that nerve. And I'm going, quit praying in tongues and just go ahead and do it. You know. At some point, you have to say, I trust you, just do it.
Yeah.
And the idea that you have to figure everything out before you trust God is the most crazy thing in the world. You don't do that with doctors. Well, I'm going to talk to some people. Okay, talk to people in the waiting room, see what they think about this surgery. Ask them what they think. Now, see, that wouldn't be reasonable, would it? But we do that. You know, here we're trusting God. God says this. And then we start talking amongst ourselves as to whether we should do this or not, or whether this is right or not. But God says, come, let us reason together. Hello. Thank God you don't have to understand everything to receive something. I don't understand how they make all the electricity and the electrodes and everything and the power station, but I know when you flip the switch, the light comes on. Hallelujah, somebody. I don't demand understanding when I pull up at the Dairy Queen and ask for a double dip cone. I don't know how they make that. Take my money, my dollar, $2, I hand it to them and it turns in magically to a double dip cone. Comes out of a window. I don't stand there and say, how do you do that? And I don't. I'm not buying one of those till I understand how you made that thing. First of all, they probably don't know how it's made. They just stick the cup under this machine, they pull the lever, and it comes out. You had to get the people that made the machine, explain how the machine's made. I mean, how crazy would it be for you to have to understand everything fully before you ever trusted in anything or anybody? We don't do that in life, and why is it we demand it of God? Well, God, I can't understand. Well, see, there's your problem. You're not going to get this. You're not going to get this miracle. You're not going to get this answer to prayer if you demand full understanding. Now, it's logical to believe and trust in someone who knows more than you do. God knows more than we do. So the most logical thing, the most reasonable thing for you and I to do is to believe God. God says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. How does the blood wash your sins away? I don't know. But God says He does it, and I trust Him. And that makes good sense to me. If you demand full understanding of everything before you do it, you know you're not. Before you turn the electricity on, before you have electricity in your home, before you have gas running through the pipes, before you have television, so on, so that's fine. You do that. I'll come visit you in your tent, and I'll bring you a hand fan because you're going to need one this summer, and you might understand that a little better. Is it reasonable to trust God? Yeah, sure is. It's not against faith. I mean, against reason to believe. It's not against believing to have good sense and good reasoning. So he says here, come let us reason together. The problem is we've left him out. Come let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Aren't you glad you just trusted God and you didn't have to worry about how He did it? He just said He'd do it. And He said, if you'd call on me, Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. I did it. You did it. We did it. I didn't understand it, but I believed him. I know God knows more than I do. I trust him. Hallelujah. You know, St. Augustine says that understanding is the reward of faith. Faith is not the reward of understanding. Therefore, seek to believe that you may understand instead of trying to understand that you may believe. We got the whole thing backwards. And to give you a scripture, Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand. Wow. The more I believe God, the more it makes sense to me now. When I was a little child, I used to listen to my daddy and my mama tell me things I didn't understand, but I trusted them and I obeyed them. As I grew older, I began to see the wisdom of what they said. But it started with faith and it started with trust. And that's what God's asking from us. He's not asking us to be rocket scientists. Hallelujah. Somebody. He's asking us to trust him. Come, come. Come unto me, all you are labor, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what he said. It's got to be the greatest word in the Bible when you think about it. Come, come, come. Spirit of the bride, say come, come. See, he told Peter, come. And when Peter started figuring out how he's going to walk on the water, he started sinking. You always start sinking with stinking thinking. See, the how was not his business. The how's not our business. We want to know how. Well, no, just believe. Just trust. Just trust. Let him figure it all out. That's half the fun, just seeing how he does it when it's all said and done. It's always in a way that we couldn't imagine. If you be willing and obedient, 19th verse, you shall eat the good of the land. You shall eat the good of the land. I will be okay. I don't know what's going on in our government. Our government doesn't know what's going on in our government. I don't know what's going on in our country. But I know God, if I trust him and I'm willing and I'm obedient, I'll eat the good of the land. I don't know how. It doesn't always make sense to me. But, you know, I don't know what God knows. God knows more than I do. God knows more than you do. God's smarter than I am. He's smarter than you are. You see, you got two or three ways he can make this thing happen. And you put your trust in this way or that way or that way. Many times our prayers just come down to telling God how we want him to answer us. We want to still orchestrate the way he does it. Lord, I need this need met, and here's how I want you to do it. And then when that does not come through, we're done. Stick the fork in, because that's just how smart we are. We're not any smarter than that. We only had one or two ways. But God's got a million ways. And see, if you just trust God for it, instead of trust God for how he's going to do it, then when the thing you're looking at falls through, God's got several ways. He's got a million ways of doing it besides that way. If you're believing for a financial miracle, don't wear the grass out between your front door and a mailbox. It may not come that way. Amen? See, a lot of our belief, if we're not careful, we're still orchestrating. We're still telling God how we want it done. And we're trying to take his place. And what we need to do is just trust him. Let us, though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson. Hallelujah. They should be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. I don't know how we got where we are today, all the details of where we are in this church. I just know we trusted God, and we trusted him 1 week, next week, 1 month, next month, 1 year, the next year. We just kept trusting him. And before long, you look back at a great success, and great success is just an accumulation of a lot of small successes and daily successes sustained over a long period of time. Really, that's it. God just asks you to trust him every day and let him figure all the details out. Gone through some rough times, gone through some bad times, gone through high cotton, low cotton, and no cotton. High cotton's better. Amen. Amen. But, you know, I know this. It was always trusting God that got us out of the messes we were in and that got us in the will of God for our life. You know, we're in a small town. International Outreach Church is not a big town. Wills Point, it's not a big town here. But we've got a big God. Amen. And the danger is you get locked into small town thinking because you're in a small town. And so you limit God by your thinking. You limit God by your reasoning, by your logic. Well, you can't do that because it's a small town. You can't do this because you're here. You can't do this because of your parents or your job or on. It's right on down the list of things that we do. But what we've got to do is back off that and say, look, if God says we can do it, then he knows more than I do. And God's not limited to a small town. God's not limited to any town. He's only limited by lack of faith. So we got a small town, but we got a big God. Amen. So we've done some big things in our in our area, you know, with the television channel, and that we're running 24 hours a day, and we show, you know, Copeland and Joyce Myers and goodness, all kind, Joel Osteen and Jerry Savelle and yours truly. Actually, we show me quite a bit. It's our channel. Isn't that right? So, but we do that. Whoever heard of a small town church having a television channel 24 hours a day? Amen. Just teaching 24 hours a day. Well, who said we couldn't do that? Who told us we couldn't do that? What about Hallelujah Night? All the thousands of people that come for Hallelujah Night in a small... How can you do that? Well, we just did it. We're doing it, and God provides the way. We started this food ministry same way. Someone felt passion for people and wanted to do it, and we talked, and we said, let's do it. And we started the food ministry, and just going full guns is just awesome what God's doing there. But if you sat down and try to figure all those things out, it doesn't figure out. It just doesn't figure out. Because you don't know what God knows. You don't know all the details. You don't know all the provision that He has. Come, let us reason together. You know, when you get in trouble, it's when you reason amongst yourself. I've seen it happen in marriage. I've seen marriages break up, you know, from people begin to reason with their coworkers about their husband or about their wife. Instead of going to God. Are you with me? So you get around godly people that love God. And you get the wrong logic. It sounds smart. It sounds reasonable. Sure, if you disclude God and His Word, it makes real good sense. But how reasonable is it to factor out God? It's not reasonable to do that. It's not logical. It doesn't make sense for you to go through life and have problems and not go and find out what God says about it. And not find out what He's offering. That doesn't make sense. Don't live your life that way. Listen, be reasonable. Trust God. Be logical. Come on. You are acting crazy here. You're not trusting God. Hey, flip that coin around because it needs to be flipped. That coin is on the wrong side and always has been. I mean, we hear it all the time about it. It's just unreasonable. You're just being crazy. You're not using your brain. Well, I think I am. I think I'm using my brain. I'm going to the one that's smarter than I am. To not take advice from God, the Maker and the Creator of all that is, the One who loves me and died for me and bore stripes on His body that I might be healed, to not listen to Him, how smart is that? See, you don't come to church and check out brain, come inside. We encourage people to bring their brains in with them. It's had an awesome effect on us from bringing our brains in. Hallelujah. Turn to Acts 27. Give you a little story here. Make some sense. I'm thinking of a lot of, you know, the Bible says, of course, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. King James says arguments and logic, but now listen to this. Not all argument, not all logic, not all reasoning, it says casting down imaginations and every that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So God's not asking you to be unreasonable. He's asking you to quit trying to reason without Him. And you need to cast down any argument that's against Him, that's against His Word. He's not saying that you have reason on one side and you have faith on the other. You got logic on good sense on one side, or you have faith on the other, and you stand between the two. You're either going to be a nut for Jesus, or you're going to be wise. Actually, the truth is, we're all nuts for somebody. I was a nut for the world when I was in the world. I would rather be a nut for Jesus. You know, but the point is, it's smart, it's sharp, it's wisdom, it's logical, it's reasonable to trust God. This is a reasonable faith. Amen? It's a very logical faith. It's a very sound faith. And you can do it. Hallelujah. And your life can make sense again. See, the world's out there, they don't know God. You know what? They have no meaning. They have no. You talk to them, and they have no purpose. Their life has no reason. Why? Because they've left out reason. Amen. Which is Jesus. He is the reason and the logic of the universe. He's the reason for the season. He's the reason for all seasons. He is the logic of the universe. In fact, all the philosophers have been looking for the meaning of life in some thing, some philosophy, some statement, some concept, but it's not a concept statement it's not an idea. The meaning of life is a person. His name's Jesus. He is the Logos. He is the logic. He is the reason. He's the region and the reason for everything. Amen. Praise God, we've got some meaning now. We have some sense now. We're now smart. We weren't smart, now we are. Because we have Jesus. Woo! Yeah, Acts 27. Y'all found it? Yeah. Notice what it says in the 10th verse. And this is where Paul, you know, when he was shipwrecked. You remember that? Paul was being taken to Rome and he preached actually in Rome when he got there. Wrote several letters while he's in prison there. But on his way over there, he was on a ship, and the way they, you know, the way they traveled in ships, they would just kind of hug the coastline, really, in that Mediterranean Sea area. And they would go from one port to the next port. They try not to stay very far from shore. And they didn't generally travel in this time of year. They were right at the end of the traveling time. In other words, about another month, they wouldn't even gone on the ship voyage. They just shut it down because of the storms and the winds and the seasons. And this is a matter of history. But they were kind of on the edge of that time of traveling. And it says here in the 10th verse, back up. Ninth verse. Now when much time had been spent in sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo ship, but also our lives." Now, everybody say perceive. I like that. He sensed something. He sensed something in his spirit. That's not illogical. That's not unreasonable. That's God speaking to you. Are you with me? He picked up something here. You know, God's saying, "Hey, don't do this, boy. You need to back off." And so you need to back off. Why? Because that's God speaking to you, and God knows more than you do. That's logical. That's reasonable. It's called a perception. Are you with me? Jesus, remember in Mark the 2nd chapter when they let the man down through the roof? And Jesus looked at him and says, "Cheer up, thy sins are forgiven." And there were certain scribes and Pharisees there that says, "Who is this man?" It says they reasoned among themselves and said, "Who is this man that forgives sins? Only God can forgive sins." The Bible says that Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned among themselves. And then he said, you know, whether it's easier to say to the man, "Thy sins be forgiven," or "Take up your bed and walk, that you may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. I say unto thee, take up thy bed and walk." And he took his bed up and walked in the presence of them all. And they were amazed and said, "We've never seen it on this fashion." I guess not. Because they're out there reasoning among themselves. In the natural, this just can't be done. It'll always be that way in the natural. In the natural, if you exclude God, you'll never get your miracle. In the natural, if you try to figure it out on your own, you will never see how you're going to get out of this myth. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or understood." And that makes perfect sense. If you're going to understand spiritual things, you need to use faith in your heart. With the heart, man believes, not with the hand. With the hand, man feels. With the eye, man sees. With the ear, man hears. With the heart, man believes. Why are you trying to believe with your hands? That'd be like trying to smell with your thumb. Yeah, or try to listen with your knee. I just don't hear anything. Well, your knee doesn't hear, okay? Your ear hears. Your heart believes. Not opposed to each other. These are just senses. In fact, Brother Osteen wrote a book called The Sixth Sense. Y'all remember that book? The Sixth Sense? And it's just another faculty. It's a sense. We detect things by faith that you just cannot detect any other way. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And to not be seen doesn't mean non-existent. Just because things aren't seen doesn't mean they don't exist. Gravity is not seen. Electrical impulses aren't seen. Evaporation process isn't seen. There's a lot of things. The wind's not seen. Are you with me? It doesn't mean they don't exist. It just means they're not detected by our senses in the natural. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I'm just trying to make you feel better about yourself here. You're not crazy to believe God. It's not crazy, no matter what they say. It makes good sense to believe God. Paul perceived something here that they didn't. He picked up on something they didn't. See, he sensed God saying something that they didn't hear God say. And it says here in the 11th verse, nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman. Okay, the pilot of the ship, the helmsman. He's the expert. He knows what he's talking about. I mean, he ought to be the one you talk to, you know. He was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship. There's a professional guy. This guy does nothing but sail ships all the time. I mean, you don't argue with that guy. He knows more than anything. Well, actually, you know, God knows a little more than he does. So although the professional is saying something, if God says something else, God is the ultimate professional. In fact, he's not like a doctor. You can't get a second opinion with God. There's no other God to go to. And so when he speaks, then you need to take his word on it. And that's logical, and that makes perfect sense. It would be perfectly reasonable for you to get all the advice you could get and all the expert testimony in your situation. Now, is there one more expert than God? See how sensible it is to believe? That's the point I want to make here, and I hope it's coming across here, is that it's not crazy to believe, it's sensible to believe. It's sensible to put our trust in someone who knows more than we do. But there's the rub, see, we don't always trust that God knows more than we do. Sometimes we want to go our own way, then thereof are the ways of death. And notice what it says. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman of the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. So you have the professional, and you have the owner. And notice what it says, and because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, convenience, sometimes it's not really convenient in the natural to trust God. It's easier to do something else. It's a little harder on us maybe to trust God. And so we're swayed by, say, what the professional says, or we're swayed by the inconvenience maybe of trusting God. And it says, because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised, oh, well, there you go, most people wouldn't do that. So we've got the majority telling us to not trust God. Are you out there? You're kind of in a minority when you believe God. It's not really convenient to do that. And, you know, the professionals wouldn't advise you to do that. And we're for professionals, and we're for the majority, and we're, you know, thank God for convenient circumstances, but they don't always line up with God.
That's right.
Amen. I mean, I got five senses, and I pretty well, you know, go by those five senses in most cases, but I don't take a vote with them all the time. If I'm driving down the road, you know, and there's a car that crosses over into my lane, headed me head on, I don't wait till I feel it and smell it and taste it before I move. My eyes say, there's a car coming at you, you better get out of the way. And you know what? My eyesight at that point overrules all my other senses, because my eyesight reveals things that the rest of them don't. It's not a time to take a vote. I'm in the house, I smell smoke. I don't wait till I feel heat before I leave. My sense of smelling detected something before everything else does. Oh, I believe all my other senses will come into play, but it's a little too late then.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? And so, you know, we have all these professionals and the majority and the convenience. The 12th verse says, and because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised them to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest, west, and northwest, and winter there. And when the south wind blew softly, oh my, everything looked good. Hello. See, in many cases, all these things line up. But it doesn't matter how many things line up. If God says something, then what God says is true. And nothing that lines up against God negates or does away with what God says. And so when you make a choice to believe God, it's a very reasonable thing to do. It's a very logical thing to do, because he knows more than anybody. I mean, when you think about it, there's David and Goliath. David comes on the scene, Goliath's out there. Every day he comes in the mornings and he challenges, you know, Israel, and says, give me a man to fight with me this day. And, If he defeat me, then we'll be your servants. If I defeat him, you shall be my servants. Come fight with me this day. I challenge the armies of Israel this day. He did that every morning. He did that every evening. The Bible says for 40 days, David comes up and he hears them. But see, David is listening from a standpoint of a man who knows God. He didn't take God out of the equation. God's still in the equation for him. Goliath, doesn't matter how big he is, doesn't even sway him, doesn't bother him. He just hears Goliath challenging God's people. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't matter if he's 50 feet tall. Who is he to challenge God? In fact, David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Yeah. Hallelujah. And everybody got excited and said, "Go get him, David." His brother's got on his case. Saul the king says, "You're not able to do this." He's a professional. He's the king of Israel. There's the professional saying, "You can't do what God says you can do." There's the enemy in the circumstance that's 9'9" by conservative estimates, 10-foot giant basically. Some estimates a 13-foot giant. Standing out there, David is just a young guy that keeps the sheep, but he'd already killed a lion and a bear. And his logic was real simple. The same God that delivered me out of the hand of the lion and the bear will deliver me out of the hands of this uncircumcised Philistine because he has defied the armies of the living God. He walks into Saul's tent. He says, "Hey, let no man fear for this man this day. I'll go fight him. I'm your man." With his sandals on and a sling in his hand. And Saul, you know, we don't get the irony there. We don't catch the sarcasm when Saul says, "Thou art not able to fight him. He's a man of war from his youth. You are but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." Basically, you know, Saul, the sarcasm in his voice, it had to be there. I mean, it had to be something like, "You have got to be kidding me." But David wouldn't back off. And I mean, his boldness, the anointing on him and was so strong that Saul just finally said, "Hey, whoo, take my armor and go for it." And he tried it and it didn't work because he hadn't proved it. You don't need to push yourself in anybody else's ministry anyway. Amen? Walk in your own ministry. Not in someone else's. But see, there was the same deal. There was the professional, there was the king, there was the circumstances, Goliath, there were the majority. They were shaking in their boots, and all of his brothers discouraged him. But what was the most reasonable, logical thing to do? You think it was unreasonable for David to do that? No, it made perfect sense. God was on his side. If God before you, who can be against you? Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. In this case, same kind of thing. So here we have a reasonable faith. Everything looked good, 13th verse, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire. Putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Eurycleidon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. That's where they made a mistake. Anytime you let a woman drive, you're going to get in trouble. Oh, didn't it say let her drive? It says her. I mean, okay, it's just a scripture. You deal with it. You just go read. But, talking about let the wind just take it, you know, is what they were saying. Okay. I love women. God bless women. I'm for women. Praise God. Best drivers in the world. Yes, amen. Well, at any rate, they wrecked the ship. At any rate, that's what happened. The ship wrecked, and all hope would be that they'd be saved was finally given up. But this is interesting. It says in the 21st verse, "But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, 'Men, you should have listened to me.'" You know, the old "I told you so" came out in Paul. He did have a chance to say, "I told you so. I told you." But see, even think about them for a moment. Here's this centurion. And he's listening to this professional helmsman, the owner, and the majority, and the soft wind blowing slowly. But the man of God over here says, "I perceive something here." Now, what he should have done, that centurion should have done, was listen to the man of God, because he had a connection with God. He was a servant of God. He was God's man. Who is going to be more likely to hear God? The shipman? The owner of the ship? The majority? Or the person that's praying and seeking God. So the most reasonable thing for the centurion to have done was listen to the one who was in connection with God. Yeah. That makes sense? That would have been sensible. That's not a crazy thing to do. That'd be the right thing to do. It's to listen to those. And we ought to listen to those who are, you know, serving God. And I think we should take counsel from one another if it's godly counsel and people that love God. Because that's reasoning with God. Well, they learn their lesson the hard way. There's always an easy way and a hard way. Always. Sometimes getting burned is the best teacher because you're just so hard-headed you won't listen when we say don't put your hand in that fire. And you put it in there and you get burned. It's not God's will. He didn't want that. And he didn't burn you. The fire did. Yeah. Wasn't his fault. God put me through. No, you put your hand in there. He told you not to. I get tickled when people go through tragedy and pain in their life and they're talking about how God brought me through this. Well, he brought you out of it, but you put yourself in there. Because he told you not to do that and you disobeyed him. Well, it's getting quiet in here. Okay. But thank God he brought you out. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Okay, let me wrap this up. So as it happened, now he says, 20th verse, well, 21st verse, but after long absence from food, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. Now I got through my I told you so, now listen. Now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. You know what? They listened to him this time. They listened to him. And God saved that whole ship and all those people. Because somebody decided to do the most logical, reasonable thing that they should have done to start with, like you should have done to start with, like I should have done to start with. We ought to all repent and get right before God and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to trust you now. Amen. I've been a fool. I've just not used my brain. I hadn't been thinking. I've left you out of the equation. I've been listening to reasoning and arguments and logic that was against your word. I thought I was cool. I was just a fool. I thought I was smart, but I wasn't. And Lord, I want to do the right thing here. I want to do the reasonable thing here. I don't want to be dumb. I want to be smart. And smart is believing God. Yeah. Come, let us reason together. Mm-hmm. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Maybe you hadn't been trusting God. Maybe you thought you were smarter than that. Maybe today you realized you weren't. That's good. That's a wonderful thing. It's a great day to realize that you're wrong. Because now you can get off that road and you get on the right road. Amen. And start trusting God. I did it some 35 years ago with my life. I thought I had everything figured out. And I woke up in a new world every day. I don't know why I thought I was so smart. But then I finally accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And he saved me. And I've been saved for 35 years. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'll find myself in situations from time to time that I'll forget to pray or not give it to God. And a real good friend of mine that pastors the church said, the men were all together. They had a men's meeting. And true story. And one guy said, well, I think, Pastor, we need to, sound like we need to pray about this. And one of the other guys says, oh no, has it come down to that? That's kind of the way we do it. Kind of last resort, you know, we'll go pray. And we've done everything else. Well, hey, we tried everything else. Let's try God. Well, you know, you ought to go to God first. That'd be a smart thing to do. Get some good advice. Go to God. Get some reasonable, logical instruction. Believe God. Trust God.